Some of y'all never get a chance to see that slide there, but it just so happened it popped up again today. We would like to thank you for coming. The service is not over yet. You still have to sit and listen to me proclaim God's word, or you can get up, but I'd much rather for you to sit there. It is an honor always to have you to come and visit with us. You are our honored guest. We hope and pray that something may be said to make each one of us think about our lives, think about what we're doing, whether it's for Christ, that it may be pleasing in His sight. If there is anything said or done in our worship service that you have questions about, we do not want you to leave here wondering. We want you to let it be known unto us. If you have a question, as it had already been stated by Brother Mark, you do not want to ask that question to anyone in particular. We ask that you write that question down and put it in the box as you exit the building on the left. On this morning, we will continue with our series, It Shall Be Well. It Shall Be Well. The scripture reference was read once again from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, looking at the Shunammite woman who Elijah said would have a child. Sure enough, she had the child. The child died. And her response, it shall be well. It shall be well. I want us to consider that this morning. And the things that we go through in this life, no matter whether they're good or whether they're bad, it shall be well. We sing a hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. It is well with my soul. Can we truly sit here today, on this morning, and say that it is well with our souls? If not, the question needs to be asked and answered, why not? Maybe it's not well with your soul because you're not a child of God. Maybe it's not well with your soul because you're strayed away from the fold. Maybe it's not well with your soul because you just do not understand what God can do for you. If you're not a child of God, the opportunity is given to you to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. And then live a life that is faithful unto God. If you're one that has strayed away from the fold, make sure that you get your life right today, for tomorrow is not always. For James says, your life is but a vapor, it appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. So confess your faults. Ask the congregation to pray for you that you may be strengthened. Maybe you're confused about what God's word says, and you just don't understand what God's word says. Be as the eunuch was in his misunderstanding before he became a Christian. We have Christians today that still don't understand. Invite someone to sit with you and guide you through the scriptures that you may understand what God desires of you and begin to do those things. We intend on this morning to encourage you as Christians, those that are members of the Lord's church, to live a life that is faithful. Live a life that is pleasing unto God. Live a life that you can look back upon and reflect and say, it is well, or it shall be well. Regardless of circumstances, it shall be well. It is to encourage the non-Christian to make a choice. As Joshua put the decree before the people in his day in Joshua 24, choose you this day whom you shall serve. And I believe that many people will make the choice and say that they have made the choice to follow after God, but are they really following after Him? Do they really realize and understand that it will be well, or it can be well, or it shall be well? Let's go to the book of 3 John. Book of 3 John. And we start with verse 1. 3 John, and we start with verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Not only was John looking at Gaius's life and saying, your spiritual well-being is good, but he says that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He wanted some good things to happen in his life. He wanted him to have the benefits of life in serving God and be able to sit back and just enjoy those things. That thou mayest prosper and be in good health. We know that there are people that serve God and have served God that maybe their health wasn't all that it should have been. And it's not because of anything that they have done, but it's because life in this body breaks down. But it shall be well. It shall be well. Everything happens, and it happens for a reason. Some sickness that comes into people's lives, it comes into their lives for a purpose, or maybe for them to draw closer to God. Maybe for them to find out who is really, truly their friends or who their family really is when they say that they love them, to see how they're going to react in these things that come about in their lives. We don't wish sickness upon no one. We don't wish death upon no one. We don't wish that some people fall down on hard times, but these things happen. And they happen in order for us to realize that God is in control. Everything that we go through in this life, these things may come to pass, or they may not. They may be there for an extended time. And as they're there, we need to focus on God, and we need to realize that God is God. He is our Creator. He's the one that can make everything all right. So let's understand about it shall be well. God is in control. He's in control. No matter how much we think we're in control, God is in control. Have there ever been a time in your life where you felt like you were out of control? You just couldn't handle the situations that was going on in your life? And you just had to step back and you just had to look and see exactly what was going on. And when you saw what was going on, you realized, hey, I cannot control this thing, but God can. God can control it. Have you ever been in an auto accident? And you knew what was beginning to happen, but you just didn't have any control. Maybe because the streets were snowy or icy, or maybe you was on dry land and all of a sudden, you lost control of your automobile and there wasn't anything you could do. I've been there. And let me tell you, it's not a good feeling. A lot of people say, man, my whole life flashed in front of my eyes. And that didn't happen to me on that day. A lot of people say, well, I'm praying to God, you know, that everything may go well with this accident. That didn't happen to me that day. I've totaled at least two automobiles. The first one I totaled, I was driving 70, 75 miles down the road, minding my own business, not trying to hit anyone. One car came out and I tapped my brakes and he escaped. The next car came out right behind him and he wasn't so lucky. When I hit him, my car spun around and it went across the highway and it stopped just away from a gas meter. And all I could hear as I'm in the passenger seat was my automobile running. All I could think about was getting out of that automobile. And I got out. The next time I told my vehicle, I was turning on a slick road. And as I turned, my truck began to spin around in circles. And as it began to spin around in circles, I saw another automobile coming toward me. There was nothing I could do. And as I hit that automobile, all I could really think about after it was all over was the people in the automobile safe. And they were okay, especially when the insurance paid off. But sometimes we lose control. We feel like, I can't do this. When we get in an airplane, we feel like, you know, I have no control. We're not the pilot. Yes, we do not have control. But the pilots have been trained to fly those airplanes. If you pay your money to get that ticket, then you're putting your life into their hands, so to speak. But God is in control. God is in control. Perhaps on your job sometime, you think that you don't have any say-so. And the reason you don't have any say-so is because you never say so. Most jobs have an open door policy. You go through the chain of command, you go in and you talk to your boss about the things that's going on. Use it sometime. Not all the time, but sometime use it. And you'll see just how much control you may have. Sometimes we don't like the things that the government do. And you know what we do when we don't like what other people do? We begin to talk about them instead of pray for them. So we need to pray for our government so that we may realize it shall be well. No matter who's in office, it shall be well. I look around the congregation and I know who's in office right now. I know, you know, some of the city officials, and I look around the congregation. I don't see anyone here that's lacking any meals. No one. So it shall be well. Ain't that right, Brother Mark? It shall be well. When milk went up to almost $4 a gallon, how many of you quit buying it? Not many of us. We kept buying milk. Now it's down to 2-something. Every now and then you might find it at 1-something, and we jump on it. Some even buy it and put it in their freezer because they know it shall be well. Times may get hard once again, but God is in control. God is in control. And we realize that God is in control of not just some things, but all things. It should make us sleep better at night. It should make us feel safe when we get in our automobile and we drive down the road to our place of employment. It should make us feel good that God is in control. You read about people that says, you know, oh, I was on my way to work this morning and this happened, you know, and I had to take a detour this way and I had to do that way and this person cut me off. And when I finally got to the point where I wanted to be, I saw what was holding up the traffic. It was an accident. And then you say to yourselves, that could have been me if I'd have left on time. That could have been me if I wouldn't have took that detour. It could have been me if no one had cut me off. It shall be well. It shall be well. And we need to keep these things into consideration when we go about our busy days. When we do not stop the time to thank God for what He has done in our lives, we should think about where we could be. And not where we are, but where we could be. We're not where we need to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. Amen. It shall be well. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and the verses 3. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and the verses 3. We know that God is in control of all things. Hebrews chapter 1 and the verses 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. All things. This is how our God operates. He sent His Son to die for the sins of the world so that men may know and realize that it shall be well. He sent His Son to die and to be buried and to be raised up on the third day to sit up on His right hand so that we may have a right back to the tree of life, that our sins may be purged. We don't have to worry about living in past sins any longer. We don't have to worry about, you know, am I going to be in Christ or out of Christ? It is possible to be in Christ, but we have to make up in our minds to do the right things. We have to make up in our minds. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and the verse is 16. For by Him were all things created. Not some things, but all things that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. All things. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That He might be first. Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The head of the church, the body, We need to put some emphasis on this. We need to start thinking about this, and we need to say, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I worship the way I worship? Why do I sing the way I sing? Why do I give the way I give? Why do I partake of the communion? Why do I pray? Why do I listen to God's word being proclaimed? Somewhere in your mind, you realize that it shall be well, because you are being obedient to what God wants you to do. God, in the beginning, he said, let us make man in our own image. Let us make man in our own image. All things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We need to know that God is in control. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Trusting in God. This is what will cause this. Trusting in God. Knowing who he is, the creator of all things. Knowing who holds the power of life and death in his own hands, that is God. And when we trust in him, we can go very, very far. It shall be well. No matter what happens in life, we need to understand that it will soon pass. It will soon pass. Knowing who God is will bring peace in our lives. You know, a man that does not know God, a man does not know peace. Man does not know God, does not know how to love, because God is love. All right. And you have to learn about love. You have to be taught how to love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, this is peace. This is peace that man can't give you, and if man can't give it to you, man can't take it away from you. See, we worry about things that man can do to us. Well, we need to be worrying about what God has already done for us. This is very, very important. It means that I don't have to have all the answers when we can trust in God. You know, some things we do without knowing why we're doing them. We don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to know everything. But God knows all things. God knows everything. God knows how to comfort us when we don't know how to comfort one another. He gives us examples on how to comfort one another, but we try to comfort people in different ways. See, we need to trust in God. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, no matter what happens in our life, if we put God first, we find that he will take care of us. You know, we have had men, women here that have gone through operations, have gone through sicknesses, have overcome those things because they have trusted in God. And they trust in God because they know that he is their keeper. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of his people. He has taken care of his people, and he will continue to take care of his people. And if God takes care of his people, he expects his people to take care of other people, so that they may know who God is. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We need to know that God is in control, not only of our lives, but God is in control of the ways of the sea. In the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. If he can control the sea, you can rest assured he can control man. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch as the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awake him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds of the sea obey him? Remember, if you create something, you can obey, that something can obey you or will obey you. It shall be well. God is our creator. We need to obey him. We need to do things that are pleasing to him. We need to do things where he can look at us as he did Job and say, that is my beloved servant. He fears me. He's going to walk upright. He's going to do the things that's right. Yes, there will be some times where we might fall, but we don't have to stay down. David, he slipped, but he didn't stay down. He was a man after God's own heart. We can be true followers of God, and we can rest assured that in the end, when we die and come judgment, that we will be told to enter in, my good and faithful servant, it shall be well. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 and the verses 21. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 and the verses 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can you really understand what Paul is saying here? Do you really understand that he says that my life is nothing, but for me to live is Christ. Christ is showing in my life, and people are seeing Christ, and people are wanting to become like Christ. They're asking questions. Why do you do what you do? And you're being able to give them answers of why you're doing those things. We do what we do because of Jesus doing what he did. He gave his life for us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, we need to understand that he lives within us. When we do what is right, we need to put him first in our lives. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. When we answer the gospel call, we are ready to roll. We are ready to walk that straight and narrow. We're ready to do whatever is put before us. And we're ready to show that Christ is head of our lives. Because we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Do you love the Lord today? Do you love God enough to say that he is the master of your life, that he's the director of your steps? Instead of having that license plate and saying that God is my co-pilot, we're saying that God is my pilot. He's the one that guides my steps wherever I may go. He will never lead me astray. It is not God who turns his back on man, but it's man that turns his back on God. It shall be well if we would just look in the scriptures and understand what we're supposed to do in order to be pleasing unto God. In the book of Acts chapter 3 and the verses 26. See, we need to consider the life of Jesus. We need to consider the things that Jesus has done for us. As we think about it, shall be well. It cannot be well if we are not trusting in the Lord. You're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties in your life. You're going to have things that, yes, you're not going to ever be in control over because you do not have Christ. In Acts chapter 3 and the verses 26, Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turn away every one of you from his iniquities. Now what's going to cause us to turn away from our iniquities? It's going to be hearing the word of God. It's going to be trusting in the word of God. It's going to be being obedient to the word of God. It's going to be by you making that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and having your sins washed away. This is what it's going to take. So what is delaying man from being obedient? They don't realize how well their life could be, how good their life could be, because they're living a life without Christ. Go to the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. We allow men to dictate which way we're going. And we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't allow men to dictate which way we should go, and we should allow God's word to dictate our steps. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. More than conquerors. No man can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that nothing, let me let you in on a little secret here, that nothing is that those vices that you think that have you down, that are holding you down, whether it's drugs, whether it's women, whether it's that bottle, they cannot hold you down. You allow those things to hold you down. We are more than conquerors. It shall be well. It shall be well. Troubles in this life are temporary. We need to understand that. Troubles are temporary. Oh, I'm going through this little thing right now. I'm in a slump in life right now. My job has cut back on my hours. Okay, your job cut back on your hours. You know what you need to do? You need to go out and get you another job to make up those hours. And then when that job picks back up, you let the other job go. See, troubles are temporary. A lot of times we are in trouble because that's what we want to be. Everyone has troubles in this life. There's no one exempt. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what your age are. You're going to have troubles. And if you do not have troubles, you remember the old dog on the commercial going to try to hide his bone? You know, troubles. You know, he's having troubles. He's having trouble trying to find where he's going to bury his bone because he thinks that someone else is going to go get it. Don't no one want that bone. It doesn't have any meat on it. But we're going to have troubles in this life, and no one is exempt. And do not say, why come he can't have the troubles? Say, why come I can't have the troubles? See, some of us can handle troubles better than others, but we're all going to have them. Sometimes we're going to have disagreements with friends. That's just life. That's life. We're going to have disagreements with our neighbors. That's life. We were looking the other day, Mark and I were looking at how people throw stuff over the fence. That's because no one lives on that other side of the fence, so they throw stuff over. But sometimes we have neighbors and we throw stuff over. We're going to have troubles out of them. So we have to make sure that we don't throw any things over the fence. We have troubles out of our family. Family will never act the way we want them to act. They will always disappoint us. But you know what? That's life. That's life. Look at Joseph's life, how his family disappointed him, how he had troubles out of them. But it was for a reason. So we're going to have these troubles with our families, with our friends, with our neighbors for a reason. Sometimes our finances are going to be short. Sometimes we're going to have debt that we will never pay because we've stacked it up so high. So we go and we file bankruptcy, and then we come out of bankruptcy, we go right back into debt again. We need someone to teach us how to stay out of financial debt. And then let's talk about those people that say that they're hungry. Let's talk about the people that have no clothes to wear. Let's talk about the people that have no shelter. See, we need to understand as Christians, those people that have those type of troubles, we are there to help them out. For Jesus said, when the people ask, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you didn't have any food to eat? When did we see you in prison? So we see him every day. And what do? We turn our heads and we don't do anything. Those people that go through those type of troubles don't necessarily have to go through them. We need to do our part because we know that it shall be well. And we need to do the things that are right. Some people have diseases that they cannot get rid of. It was their fault that they caught the disease, but they just can't get rid of them. But then there are some other diseases that we can stay away from. So we have to know what we need to do. The Bible teaches that the Christian, at least, troubles are temporary. Troubles are temporary. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's trust in God. Let's all, you know, think to ourselves on this day that it shall be well. No matter what sickness we have, no matter what operation we have to go through, no matter what we're going through with our families and friends and neighbors, it shall be well. No matter how many times our boss comes to us and yells at us, but yet we're doing our job the way we're supposed to do, let us say it shall be well. Let us say that it shall be well because our trust is not in man, but our trust is in God. And we realize that He is the one where we receive all of our help. He is the only one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Man cannot do that. Man won't be able to do it, but man cannot do it. It shall be well. Let us trust in God. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're having these problems in your life, you don't know which way to turn, you don't know which way to go, the aisle is where you need to be. You need to walk down the aisle. You need to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to have your sins washed away in the water grave of baptism and then live a life that is faithful unto Him. You need to change your friends. You need to change the people you hang out with. You need to change the things that you're doing and realize that now you are in Christ and you are to walk a newness of life. You need to realize these things. Maybe you're here and you're straight away, but you're ready to come back to the fold. Do not hesitate. Do not delay. We're asking you to come today. Today, not tomorrow. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.